Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable.
Instigator's emerged. Britannia's back in the inside. Instigator, Stern Idol. Stern Idol fight. Instigator, Stern Idol. The big boy's fighting like a lion. Stern Idol all the way. Brave.
Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100. It's getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing the Doombin Cup and also a Sandown card, which I thought looked impossible, but no doubt Will, the bot Alfred, will find plenty of angles. And even though I've said this podcast should only go for 45 minutes, I am tipping it'll go for longer. Will, you've dissected the form. How are you feeling going into this weekend's racing?
Well, Sandown's decided to put on a belter, so no, I'm very excited.
Are you being legitimate here?
No, I've got there are bets all across the card. I'm legitimately excited about the racing at Sandown on Saturday. I'm not taking the piss.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought there was how many races are there? This is how much 10. Form I've done. I thought there was 10 dot balls. So. Anyway,
yeah.
We'll get into that very soon. How's your week been, mate?
Well, apparently better than yours because you just had a car crash.
Yeah. thanks for bringing it up. On my way to training, I have gone into a roundabout, my usual commute, 5-minute drive to football training, and some dumb BITCH has decided to enter the roundabout as I'm turning. While I'm still in the roundabout with my indicator on, I hit her. She gets out of the car and has the audacity to say, how fast was I going? Seriously, I was probably going 25 kilometers an hour. You don't go that fast when you're turning in a roundabout. And now my wheel alignment is absolutely cooked. Thankfully, my car's not too bad. Hers is a little bit banged up, but anyway, her insurance can sort of sort that out.
Anyway.
Bit of news off the top. Did you see the Chronicles of Gil McLachlan continuing?
No, I did not. What's that about?
Is so he apparently he was the front runner to become the new chairman of Racing Victoria. And then SEN posted an article the other day that not happening, and he's a chance to become the CEO of Tabcorp now.
What the Tabcorp?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting switch up. I don't know like the legitimacy of that article, but SEN did post it, so you would think it's got some legs, and yeah, it's interesting, I thought.
Yeah, right. I know. I have not heard about
that. Have you been keeping
on? I do not care.
Yeah, I don't know. It's RV now need to find a new chairman and a new CEO. So from what I heard, they thought he was going to become the chairman of Racing Victoria, and I don't know. I think they might have counted their eggs before they hatch, sort of thing. So wait and see there. On the backboard, we're not a Betfair podcast, but on the backboard, everyone needs to get on the Tab promo for same game multis. They're running the a promo right now.
Do you mean basketball?
Yeah.
Ah, right.
Well, it applies to basketball and AFL, but same game multis, if you miss by one, they've got a promotion where if any leg misses by one, it pays out. And through the NBA playoffs, I reckon I've won about three multis. Anthony Edwards hit Anthony Edwards hit 19 today. I had him for 20 and it got paid out. So punters, make sure you get onto Tab. You can still be promo banned, as I am, and still get the promotion. So that's just a bit of goodwill that I thought I'd podcast off with.
It's funny how accurate the lines are. Like, I bet on horse racing, and like I just don't understand how you could bet on people, like professionally. I don't know how. I guess it's the same, like the stats and stuff, but it's just
The value in same game multis for AFL and basketball is horrendous. Like when you look at some of the odds, they can be averaging 20 points through the normal season, and then for them to score 20 points will be like $1.10. It's like that's their average. Like, it's just so the value is just not there for me.
Yeah, you build up percentages as well. So not, I don't know. I don't get involved in that sort of stuff, but like unless I put like $5 on it,
yeah,
just for the fun.
There's been plenty of angst building up in our group chat with how much basketball talk there is right now. But anyway, I'm all for it. Yeah. All right, let's get to the racing, shall we? Sandown, we're racing on the hillside. Rail is in the true position. It's a soft five at the moment, so genuine winter ground. But there doesn't look to be any rain on the radar, I wouldn't say, in the next few days. So how do you think it might play?
I don't know. I think Sandown, like you get good enough horses on it. Like the pace will be the dictator of all that sort of stuff. So I'm happy. If I'm having bets, it's not like I think a horse is going to be like, I want to back this leader. It's like, it's cause there's a leader bias. If I'm backing a leader, it's cause I don't think there's much pace in the race. Like my betting on Saturday will be pace orientated. Like if I'm going to bet towards a positioning run sort of thing. So I'm more worried about the pace of individual races than a specific track pattern. I've given up on trying to predict that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, let's rip into the card. As I said off the top, I probably haven't done too much on this. I know and I've identified that these winter meetings, benchmark meetings, are just not my strength and they are Will's strength. So I'm just going to hand the baton to him and sort of host this for the Victorian races anyway, and I'll fire up a little bit for Doomben. And I've got an absolute put-in takeout at Chartin on Sunday. So we'll get to those very soon. But Race 2 Bot is where you're starting, 1,600-meter three-year-old race. Potoka Chief is the $5 favorite from Some People Call Me, $5.50. Lady in Pink, $5.50. Takumwa, $6. And Eugenius, $6.50. So very compressed at the top with the $5 a field.
Yeah, so this meeting initially I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about it. But when you dig deeper and deeper, you sort of like, I sort of found more and more little angles and refined my prices and all that sort of stuff. And I ended up coming up with a couple nice little bets, I guess. I hated this race initially. I didn't even want to talk about it. But the more I looked into it, the more I kind of liked it. So you've got Bakota Chief, who's gone up favorite, and rightfully so. It's from the family of Lion Tamer, who's a two-time Group One winner in Australia. It ran really fast time at Pakenham on debut. There's no sort of market expectation for it. It beat Mac Day and the massive margins throughout the field, but to have it five, like, versus some of these, like, these are, I know that the listed form's not all that crash hot, but it's still coming out of a pack and a maiden. So I have it second favorite. The horse I have favorite is the full brother to Streets of Avalon, Eugenius, who, like, I don't really care about being wide and all that sort of stuff. It's not something I guess I do care about it, but it's not the end of the world for me, I guess. But he was sort of wide around the turn at Flemington, and that's where they sort of picked up the pace last weekend. It's on the backup, and I just love, like, whenever I see, at least like in the last sort of 12 months, whenever I see a Shane Nicholls horse and I sort of fancy it, I don't even really think twice, because he's just belting the market of expectation at the moment. My computer's not loading. It's not going to tell me the exact numbers. I should have written it down. But, like, if you can trust me, it's he's smashing it out of the park, and I think he's winning, like, I don't know. It's like 1.7 wins versus whatever. He's smashing the market, and you should be finding him if you have the opportunity to. I want to back it. I think it's a $5.60 chance. The best price right now is $6.80. I have Bakota Chief $6. I think $5.50 is, like, you know, it's about fair. The market looks pretty right outside of Eugenius. Like, it's a small edge. Takumwa is a nice enough horse. It's I thought it was going to be on a Queensland Derby prep, but they've taken it back in distance, and I'm not sure I love that. Tatum Bull stays on, and Hydrogen Power was the other one that I half liked too. It was another one that made a big mid race move, second up at Caulfield, and that race has gone pretty well. That Shaw won, and I think that Shaw might be a pretty nice horse. So I wanted to be against Lady in Pink. I think it'll go back to last. Some people call me. I just don't think it's a massive talent. I think 1600 meters is a positive for the horse, but I don't think it's much better than what it, I think it's pretty well exposed is what I'm trying to say. So the bet I've had is I will have probably is Eugenius.
Do you think he might get bet up because of Ryan Houston on the 3 kilo claim? I know he's going he actually probably is beating the market 1.04, I think. Punting form saying the wins to expected.
Slightly, yeah. I think it just depends what the market does with Batoka Chief. I have no idea what it'll do, because the time was fast, big margins, but it's going to get back in the field, and there's not a whole lot of pace on, but there could be, but it's one of those ones where I think that it could be, like, on paper, there's not a whole massive amount of speed, but I think what might happen is that they sort of realize that and go a little bit too hard early, and then they sort of, I don't know, but Eugenius is just too big. It's on the backup. It's if it runs the rating it did last time, plus a little bit for little extra factors, I think it should be favorite and a bet.
So in summary, it's the only bet for you, or you still might have
one. Like if Hydrogen Power sort of gets out on the day, like, you know, this is all, like, everything can change, but on the day, like, if I'm getting much better prices, but, like, I think what's most likely to happen is Hydrogen Power probably gets out to 850 and I just chop on it, I think.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. It is worth noting that Batoka Chief, who beat MacDane last up, finally won a race, the big cat. MacDane won tonight.
I hate MacDane.
Finally broke the spell, but yeah, you'd be broke if you were backing him throughout his career so far.
Trust me, I am.
All right, let's move on to race three. It is a benchmark 78 for the 3-year-old fillies, Falloozy. You know what rhymes with floozy?
Doozy?
Kaloozy.
Oh, yeah.
That's how the skips say it. Anyway, it's not actually how you pronounce it. Miss Aria is 440, Enna's Dream 460, Elphinstone 550, Flying Fizz is on the backup $9, was in the race last week, where Mowdown should have won. I didn't mention it off the top. How many sick beats were there last week? Mowdown should have won. Oh, for me. Sorry. Being a bit selfish here. Mowdown was a moral beat. I thought Mostly Cloudy was a moral beat. Generosity should have won, and I Wish I Win. Just don't get me started on that one.
So, Mowdown was a moral beat, was it?
Yeah, I reckon held up.
Wouldn't have beat the winner, mate.
Go back and watch it.
Yeah, trust me, I've watched it a couple of times.
Yeah, fair. Well, anyway, who are you backing now?
Falloozy and Nadachi. So Miss Aria is favourite. I'm one for, as people would know by now, I'm not a massive track sort of biased person. Like I completely, it's obviously a thing, but like I don't go looking for it and all that sort of thing. But the outside lanes at Caulfield, what was it a few weeks ago, was just the place to be 2 weeks ago, and that's undeniable. Miss Aria found those lanes. Tatum got it to the right part of the track and it rocketed down the crown of the track. But that might not happen again here. It was building to a run like that, but you know, you got to take off some. Everything panned out perfectly, and it's highly unlikely to not happen again. Floozy came down in not the worst part of the track, but it wasn't the best part at all. And this is a horse by Catchy who I have like with, you know, like won a Blue Diamond, ran third in the Caulfield Guineas. I'd say it's probably looking for a mile. At this point, I think it can. Like Linda goes on from who wrote it last time? Who wrote it? It was an apprentice, I think. So yeah, Celine Gaudry wrote it last time. Linda goes on. So I think there's an intent to lead here, just with like I'm just reading between the lines. This is a horse that has gone forward in the past. I think it might roll forward. And yeah, I think Peking coming fourth up, second preparation. I think it's a nice horse. So and the other one I wanted to back in this race, you look back through Nadachi's form and there's just strong run after strong run, and then off last start it just sort of it was inside on a day that was just like game over if you were on the inside, and it raced on well enough, and you know, like I thought it was in for a massive preparation first up, running some big splits, and then sort of I don't know what happened second up, it just sort of raced flat, and then I thought the third up run was enormous against the track pattern on the day. And I think it might just go roll to the front on Saturday, and $26 is an enormous price. I have it $13-$14, and I have Floozy $4.20. And his dream is one that's been sort of backed early. I completely understand it. It's won at Sandown a couple of times. It's got some nice form, and it was a big sort of flashing light run. The sectionals were there. Last 400 meters was really strong, and She's On Shenanigans was off the map last week. I don't know how much that had to do with the track pattern of last weekend, but you know, she hasn't actually done a big rating yet, and maybe Saturday will be the day that she does it, but if I want to have her as short as what the market does, I'm half forcing it a little bit. So I think Floozy's a great bet. I think you can roll across from barrier 9. And Nadachi is the other one I'll definitely back as well. So I'd almost say it's my best bet of the day, to be honest. But I don't know about that, actually. But,
or the bracket bet?
No. Oh, maybe. I don't know. Floozy, I guess. I don't know. I don't really have a best bet. It's a tricky day for a best bet. But if I was going to have one, maybe it'd be it.
Yep, sweet. Well, your best bet won last week down the straight. So hopefully we can get that rolling again. Race 5, 2,400 metre, benchmark 70. Sing for Peace is locked in. Equal favourite with Vividil at $5.50. Garachico is $8.50. M Factor, $9.50. The Genius, $10. And My Rock Alley, $12. You're playing in the staying race. You're with the four.
Yeah, I am. Again, another one I wasn't really super enthused to bet into, but You just sort of go through the field, and there's a few horses here that I just think should be a lot bigger than what they are, and like just sort of these middle pinners, and that just sort of leaves percentage in Vividil, and I think Sing for Peace is a little bit, I don't love it with the Ryan Houston going on from the inside barrier. I don't love it. It was awful last time. And yes, it was second up and they went ridiculously fast in that race to the 800 metres. So there's definitely an excuse there. And its best form probably wins this. But I just thought that Vividil is an unexposed gelding, 4-year-old. And it's sort of getting up to the right distance now, went to a new level at Warrnambool, 2,400 metres. They went really slowly there, so I'm half scared of, like, you know, it did get the perfect run and all that sort of stuff, but I just think there's still a little bit of progression left with it and not with the others. So there's just a lot of horses here that are going no good, and a couple of the other ones that might have a tiny chance are drawn wide and they'll go all the way back. And, you know, this is a massive field and it's Sandown, so they'll all think, like, you know, it's a massive straight, big track, so we can just round them up. But, you know, it doesn't work like that. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if the on paces steal it, because, you know,
yeah,
it happens sometimes.
One I had a little bit of interest in at a decent price. Don't know how well it's going this preparation, but it did win at a big price last preparation, beating United Nations at the Valley.
Is it Sacred of Duke of Hastings?
It is Duke of Hastings.
I'm going to back it as well. Yeah, oh. No, I was about to say that I am also backing Duke of Hastings. I have it $9. It's $26, so it's a massive price. It's a big overlay for me.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's the one that sort of piqued my interest in this race.
Yeah, like it's gotten back a long way, and it's three runs this preparation, and every time it gets out to this distance, it like runs in the rating range where this race is probably going to be won. If it leaves Vivi Deal and Sing for Peace, don't run to their best. And I thought it was a massive chance. And, like, you know, like look on paper, its run last time was no good at all. But it's it gets a big jockey change, and it's it'll be a lot more forward. The beaten margins are definitely a little bit deceptive.
Yep, sweet. So there you go. Last few races, there's a good favourite and also one down the page at a bit of value for the bot man. Race 6, it's over the mile. It's another mare's race, benchmark 78, four-year-old plus, just to differentiate between the three-year-old race. Matriarch Rose is $5.50, going really well the last few runs. Aiming model of consistency is $6. Precious Charm, $6.50. Brazen Lady, $6.50. And Great Taste, $6.50. So, and yet again, another market where it's $5.50 the field.
Yeah, I've backed Matriarch Rose like every single start, because I've always, since it's when was it? It won a race at Ballarat one day. It was second up, and it just went completely massive. The rating was enormous. It was coming down from Queensland, and then I backed it at Ballarat, and it was like $4 into $2 Betfair, and it was just like the biggest go you have ever seen. If I was going to say the worst beat I've ever had, like the sickest I've ever felt, it'd be the Matriarch Rose at Ballarat, because it was one of the worst rides you'll ever see in your life. And it's like every time I watch the replay, it just, like, it irks me still. Anyway, I've got a big opinion of this horse. I think it's well enough exposed, but I think the market at $6 is implying that it's going to go back from the wide barrier. If this goes forward, I think it's a $4 chance. Precious Charm is a nice horse. It ran big splits at Warrnambool, and it's still got some progression. So I think it's probably a little bit, what price? It's the best price now. $6.50. I have it $6. Aiming, I think, will go back. I don't think it has the speed to be forward in this race. And Great Taste is way too short. I think it's not way too short. It's $7.50. I've got it at $11. I think Matriarch Rose is just a really simple, easy bet. I think it'll roll forward. It's got the Inform Apprentice on. She's killing it at the moment. She's smashing the market. She's 9 from her last 50. Median price is $11. The wins versus expected, 1.4 wins versus... you know what I mean. She's on the quick 10-day quick backup. You know, it's just a perfect setup, and I think the market will find it. And I think she's a really good bet.
Beautiful. Let's keep the ball rolling, the dice rolling. Race 7, 1800 meter benchmark 100. There's two more races Bot is betting into. Let's roll the dice. Number 2 is a $3.70 favorite, just from highlights. The Sydney visitor for Bjorn Baker, $3.80. Bear Story, $6. Fingerata, $6. Pudding, $9.50. Baltoro, $10. And Smoke and Romans, 16 $1,000. Big price.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I have had something on Smoke and Romans. But I was there's a couple bets in this race. Like I've changed my opinion on this race a couple times. I think Highlights should be favourite. I think he will start favourite. Let's Roll the Dice is way too short. It'll get the perfect run. You know, it had the perfect run last time and sort of just scraped in. But that was a peak for it, and I can see it regressing on that run. I think that Bear Story will lead from barrier one. Bear Story is a horse that's sort of always interested me, and I always thought like maybe I could back it one day to do something because it has some really strong overseas form and ratings, but it hasn't quite translated to over here in Australia. But I think today or Saturday might be the day, and I think we'll get a better price. I think maybe we get $9. I think I'll have I'll chop on it, and I hope we get like $4 Highlights or something like that, and I'll back it. And I'm also on Smoke and Romans as well. I think it's more like a $9.80 chance. And even Deep Strike, like his best is completely in this race. And I was thinking about taking 31s, but I noticed that it's been backed a little bit, so I won't back it now. But yeah, there's a bit going on in this race. I think Let's Roll the Dice is awful value. I think it had the perfect scenario last time, and I might get it again, but I just think Highlights and Bear Story to beat it is just a lot better, and even Smoke and Romans.
Yep. But, so three bets in that race?
Well, no, not really. Well, potential. Well, it's hard on a Thursday. Like I have Highlights $3.60. The best price is $3.80. Like I don't know what the market's going to do on Saturday. If it's $4.40 on Saturday, I'm definitely betting. If Bear Story is into $5.50, I'm not betting because I have it $6.50. Yeah. Like you know, I'm in a tricky spot, but like it's one of those meetings. Like I can't like sort of. There's no like $2.50 thing. I think should be $1.80. So there's like it's hard to like I don't really know what I'm actually going to be betting at this point. But like what I'm saying what I'm most likely going to be betting because I think what the market's going to do. But I don't know. Right.
But with Smoke and Romans, you have had something on.
Yeah, I've had something on. I took $19, yeah.
Yeah. All right, sweet. Wait, let's go to race nine. We'll skip the eighth. This is a 1,400-meter benchmark 84. Cordor is the $4.80 favorite. Been really, really well backed. From Bigolino, $7. Ballet Rich is $7. Reinberg, for some of our great mates, we wish them good luck. Tyson, Adrian & Co., $8. Starlight Scope, $9.50. And Talibregar is $12.
Yeah, it's a good race. I have it $8 the field, so it's a tricky one. But don't know what to do with the favorite, Cordor, the import. I thought the trials were good and the form is good, but I can't have him that price. I thought he was equal favorite with Reinberg, who was wide and working at Caulfield last time, and I think he will run a peak rating for this preparation. I want to be on, there's a couple I want to be on this race. I want to be on Anilla, who I think is a 1,300-meter horse, but they keep running it over 12 and 11. When it got to 13 last time, it nosed out Baldinho, who did some nice things at 12. Like, you know, it's a nice horse, one. A couple of nice races at Caulfield and was thereabouts for a long time. Second up, it ran massive splits behind Second to None and Easy Campese. Both of those horses have done nice things in Adelaide since throughout the carnival. And then last time had a checkered run behind Talbragar, who brought that form to Caulfield and is in this race, who brought that form to Caulfield 2 weeks ago and run really well. But I just think Talbragar, they're going to go really fast in this race. So, like, there's just a lot of speed. So I'm against Bigolino, who won that race last time because of the pace, because they didn't go overly quickly. And it's going to be completely different. And I think he has the tendency to be half length slow, and he might be buried from barrier one. So Yeah, Elkington Rhodes one that I might have something small on. His best form is obviously very, very good for this. He was a horse that was, I think he was top five in a Caulfield Guineas or something like that anyway. I think I actually backed him in the Caulfield Guineas, that Golden Mile one. And he was in the worst part of the track first up, and he can definitely run a race. There's a couple I'm just against just because of pace in this race. I'm against Starlight Scope, because it got away with in Red Hot Nick, just like they went really slowly in that race, but they were still like three lengths clear of the rest of the field. I could back La Ferrari. Ballet Rich is a tricky one. I'm not sure what to do with it. So it is $8 the field, so I'm not super keen on anything, but Anilla is one that I'm definitely going to have a bet on. Elkington Road is one I'll have something on. At the moment. Oh, and La Ferrari I could have some small on. If I get $10, Ryan Burke. What a deal. Yeah, he was really good first up. But, he's going to go all the way back to last, you would have thought. On his best form, 100%. But he's most likely going to be last. And, it's a big field. He's going to be probably like 10 to 15 lengths off. It's not ideal. Yeah. And what I was saying was, if I get $10, Ryan Burke, I'm definitely betting.
All right, sweet. Anything else you want to say on the card? Like race 10 is probably a decent race, 1,400 meter benchmark 100. We should probably just touch on it quickly, even if you don't have a bet.
Yeah.
I'll just quickly read out the market. Nicolini Vito is $4, coming off a strong second. So Risque, $4.40. King Magnus, $7. Junipal, $7. Gentleman Roy, $9. Ascension, $9.50. And Showmanship, $11. You couldn't split them in this?
Yeah, I think the two favorites are too short. Nicolini Vito, I think, is about a 1200 meter horse, and he was sort of in the right part of the track last week, and now he gets an awful map. He's going to be near last. It's a completely different scenario for him, and he's way too short. I think he's more like an $8 chance. So Risque was good last time. He's going to have to do a lot of work from the outside barrier. I thought that Gentleman Roy could improve, but what price is he now? He's the right price, yeah. Devoted was in the wrong part of the track. I think 20s is probably too big. I think sort of 14s is about its right price. Showmanship is, yeah, I could back Showmanship, actually. It was good at Warrnambool with the track pattern against it. Ran well enough. From a long way back on the when you had to be inside and leading, or in the first few anyway. It's obviously had heaps of issues, but it looked like it was healthy enough first up. And what else have I got? It's a tricky race. I have everything really similar to market. Junipal, but I think, you're probably better on soft tracks. But yeah, Junipal maybe. Like I have it $8, it's $9.50. So if I got like $12, $11 Junipal on Saturday, I could entertain it. Ascension is another one that can improve. That's about it, I think.
Sweet. Is that it for Melbourne?
What races didn't we talk about? I can just give a brief. We talked about pretty much every race, really.
We didn't talk about one. We didn't talk about
not race four. One. I hate that race.
We didn't talk about four. We didn't talk about eight.
Yeah, four. I'm not a massive fan of 1,000 meter races. I just think that can be a bit weird. I thought Fasudo should obviously be favourite. I'm spewing it in back at $6. I missed it. Port Albert, I don't know what to do with. And Mrs. Chrissy is one of my horses, but too short at the price. Perilous Fighter's about the right price. William Thomas is about the right price, but it needs 1400 meters. It's not a 1,000 meter horse. Bifrost was perfect scenario last time. Yeah, it all looks about right to me.
Did run third, and we tipped it at $34.
Yeah, but didn't win. I didn't back it to place.
I'm sure someone did.
Hopefully.
All right.
That's about it.
That sums up that then. Let's go up to the Sunshine State, where it has been raining a little bit. track is currently a soft five, they're saying, and there is some rain on the day, but only minimal. They did put a few mils of irrigation on the track, which is always annoying when they don't really have to. But anyway, these are the cards we're dealt as punters. It's already hard enough, but they want to make it a little bit harder. I have committed to only having four or five bets across this whole weekend, and I think the best comes up in race five, Doomben. It is the Magic Millions two-year-old classic over 1,050 metres. Neza is $2.40 favourite from Spywire, $4.20. Embassy, $4.80. Arabian Summer, $7. They look the only chances, the top four, and I'm just happy to back in the fact that Moods has taken Aniza up to Queensland. I think she's obviously still going well. And for mine, she's just an easy bet to have. This is a set weights race. She brings in easily the best form. You know, she's beaten a Golden Slipper winner last start in Lady of Camelot. And she draws beautifully for Damien Lane in four. The big negative is obviously back in trip to 1,050, which suits Spywire, who's more of that out and running. He's going to be in front for a long way, but I just think Aniza from that draw, she won't have to get too far off him. And I just think we're getting $2.50. $2.50 is the top price. I think the only reason we're getting that price is because of the drop back in distance. This is a horse who was a little bit unlucky in a Golden Slipper and wasn't far off him in a Blue Diamond. Last start, she ran her final 600 metres over seven lengths above the class average. That's 1,200 metres Randwick, which is pretty good going for a two-year-old. And I'm happy to back her in the filly. I think if you've got Neds and you can use a backup tool, I think Spywire probably is the only danger. Embassy draws wide and just could be out of play. Doomben is a track where you don't really want to be getting back and circling really, really wide. I know the fence has been off, but you still just don't want to be giving up the ground. It's not as easy to make that ground up in the straight as Eagle Farm across the road with the longer straight. So I think that's a bit of a task. And Arabian Summer, I just don't know if she's that good. She picked apart a few races, Ballarat and Gold Coast, but I just don't know what she beat there exactly. And first up, I'm just happy to see her go around. So Aniza is the bet for me. Any thoughts, Spot?
This was she's obviously got the best form and she's very consistent, but she needs a like. She's very consistent. I don't think she's any better than what she's done, but there's no other horse that's sort of got a knockout punch. So, you know, she's probably unsuited by 11. What is it?
1,050.
Yeah, but you know, she's obviously favourite. I don't know.
I'm just happy to back it in.
250.
I think if it was 1,200 metres. You could dead set mark her like $1.70. So
maybe
that's the risk you sort of take. Let's go across to race eight. It is the Roses 2,000 meter 3-year-old event, group two for the fillies. So this is the main lead up to the Queensland Oaks. Scarlet Oak, no pun intended there, $3.30 favorite from Molly Bloom in the same colors, $4.20. Tutta La Vita, it's got some new colors on her, she's $5.50. Amazonian Lass and Poifect are both $9.50. I think the two Johnny O'Neill horses at the top of the market, I think the odds are around the wrong way. I think Molly Bloom should be the favourite. I thought her run first up in Australia was sensational last start on the Sunshine Coast. She was held up really, really badly and she sprinted home. Well, I think she should have got a lot closer to Amazonian Lass. She ran the fastest last 200 of the race. That was a heavy 10 over 1,800 metres. So naturally, she's going to improve from that. She gets the tongue tie on for the first time. So maybe there was a few problems with her breathing there. And she goes Opie Bosson to Blake Shin, which, you know, Opie's pretty good, but I think Blake Shin is even better. And I think she should be favourite over Scarlet Oak, who has done some good things, but she's doing it all in her first sort of preparation, and she's only gone to 1,600 metres. Molly Bloom is a proven group horse at 2,000 metres. She won... What did she win?
Isn't she a group one winner?
She won a group two over 2,000 meters back home. Has she won a group one? She's won. Yeah, she won the 1,000 guineas. So she is a group one winner back home in New Zealand over the mile as well. So multiple group two winner, group one winner, gets up to her preferred trip, 2,000 meters, and she was dead set so unlucky last start. Amazonian last, you can't have too many knocks on her, but she's drawn barrier 15. It's a big field, and she's going to have to go forward. I just think she's going to have to use up a fair few tickets to get the position that she wants, that Adam Hieronymus wants, and Molly Bloom is just going to land in that perfect position from barrier four. If you take away the bad luck from last start, then she's right on the heels of Amazonian Lass and she gets another 200 meters. So I'm pretty happy to back her. Top price is $4.50. I think that's acceptable.
Massive splits, that Scarlet Oak.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have put that. Like, that's a big margin for how slow they went.
Yeah. But, she's obviously pretty talented herself. The one thing I will say is, sometimes those margins can be a little bit exaggerated on those really heavy tracks.
No.
Because some horses just don't pick up in the ground. But I don't know. I just think Molly Bloom has the form on the board. And at set weights, they've all got the 56.5. I was happy to back in the class runner.
Yeah. On ratings, the Scarlet, if you're a ratings man, Scarlet Oaks. I can't say that, actually. I don't have the figures for Molly Bloom, so I won't say anything, actually.
You don't get the New Zealand numbers?
No, I don't have them on me, no.
Yeah.
I can ask for them. But
let's get across to the feature of the day, the Dooman Cup, worth $1 million.
Why is Numerian? You've backed Numerian, haven't you?
I have, indeed.
Yeah, why is he my favorite?
I agree. And I posted a tweet about it today. I think the price available right now is still unbelievably good. Huetor is going for 3 wins in a row in this race. The first edition was at Eagle Farm when Doombin was out of action. And then he won again last year. Zaki was sort of coming to the end of it. And he got up again beating Numerian. I just don't think it would sit right for me if a horse like Huetor won 3 Group 1 Dooman Cups in a row. But anyway, that's the state of our weight for age horses right now. There's a few going by the wayside as well. Kovalika is the $3.50 favorite from Detonator Jack, $5. Huetor is
forcing it.
$8.50. Numerian, $9. Vow and Declare has been really well backed into $11.
Is it? What price did it open?
$26.
Why would you open at $26?
I'll get my one plug for the podcast out of the way now. The 6-day racing, you download my app on the App Store. As I said, we had some bad luck last week, but we're hitting back strong, hopefully, this week. We're only betting into a few races, but this is one I'm really keen on, and we've taken the price on 2 horses already. The first of those is Numerian. We've backed it at $15 and $4.50 each way. This horse was enormous, winning the Hollandale Stakes last start. I can't believe I didn't have anything on. He went around a silly price at $31, probably just because he was first up and maybe everyone thought he probably sort of needed a run, but no, he was too strong for him, 1,800 meters. If you look back at this race last year, he actually had a much, much tougher run than Huetor. Was sort of wide working, over raced a little, and Huetor just got that lovely camping behind him and was just a little bit too strong right on the wire. But I think Numerian, it's possible that he's even gone to a new level since then. He went over to Perth, won the Ted Van Hemp's, beating a really, really tough warhorse in Maricino. He then carried top weight in the Perth Cup and was only beaten just over 2 lengths. And I think this sort of 2,000 meter range is probably his optimum. He draws barrier 7. He's going to go forward, which we know is an advantage at Doomben. And with Serpentine setting what I think will be a solid enough pace, he's drawn wide and he has to go forward. I think Numerian's going to probably find the 1-1 and he's going to look the winner for a long way. I love the confidence during the week from Jamie Mott saying they have to improve to beat me. I love that from jockeys, and he's $9. So I think he, as Bot said, I think he should be a lot shorter. And the other one we've backed is Vow and Declare. We've backed him at $21 and $6 a place each way.
Is that all in, or is that earlier in the week? Like, was that yesterday?
Numerium was all in. Vow and Declare was final field.
Why would they? Are they stupid? How many? How was it, like 50 days between runs? Yeah, 56 days between runs. Yeah. It ran fourth in Australia Cup last start. What are they doing?
Yeah. It's been a while between drinks since he's actually won a race.
Yeah, because he's in much better races.
Yeah. I think the last race he won might have been the Zipping Classic at Caulfield, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Before
that, Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, so he doesn't win out of turn, but as you said, he ran fourth in the Australian Cup, only beaten two lengths behind Cascadian last start. Before that, he was really good, only just nosed out by Campionessa. His head is in front before the post and after the post in the Peter Young, so it was a sick beat if you're on that day, but more people would have been on the favourite Campionessa. And I just think he's another one who maps really well here. Barrier 5, we know he can sit near enough to the speed, and Danny O'Brien has a set plan with this horse later on in his life just to keep him sort of fresh, race him sparingly and keep him at 2,000 metres, and it seems to be working for him for the time being. He ran that big, big second behind Alligator Blood, second up in the Might and Power last preparation, then he was beaten, but far from disgrace in the Mooney Valley Gold Cup. So all the form is there, weight for age suitable, and he draws barrier 5 where, you know, a horse like Queto is looking for 3 in a row, is drawn 11, and I just think he has to go back. Tommy Berry's not an aggressive rider. It looks ugly. Detonator Jack is really short at $5, and so is Kovalik at $3.50.
Yeah, I don't understand why Kovalik is that short. That looks disgusting. Like, I get the splits are massive last time, but and he draws inside short, but fuck, he got beaten like three, four lengths, didn't he?
Nah, he only got beaten like 2 by Numerian.
Yeah, but still, like you're 1.5, but still, you know what I mean? Like Numerian smashed him.
Yeah, I think it looks ridiculously short. He can obviously win, but 350, like I think he started $13 in this race last year. Numerian was shorter than him in this race last year, and I think there's every case you can say he's like his form isn't that much better, if at all.
No.
So, and Detonator Jack just looks short at $5 as well, maybe a bit of JMAC tax. Does he really want 2,000 metres? We saw him. Maybe, but I don't know. You just go back to those Sandown losses a few times.
Yeah, that was because John Allen kept fucking him.
Yeah, he was ridden really negatively, but
my God,
it just sticks in my mind. How did Sosie Bond kick back and beat him that day?
Because he probably gave him 15 lengths head start.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, John Allen can give him a start, that's for sure.
Yeah, he did ride him like a bit of a hero that day, but
he did it like anyway. 3 times, and it's like, like you could see it happening, but like,
yeah,
it was, yeah, whatever.
Nonetheless, $5. I don't know.
And they haven't gotten past a mile since because they haven't got past a mile since because they probably think, well, he doesn't stay because he ran out of gas late. Well, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If Numerian or Vion Declare even place, I'll be winning something on the race. But hopefully, fingers crossed, one of them win.
Yeah, Numerian should be not favorite, but at least close to favorite. Maybe like $5 or $6.
Yeah, I thought $6, $5 would be his price, but anyway. Yeah. Young Werther was really bad last start, but he was pretty good the starts prior.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you think of his chances?
It's easy to be bad in the Australia Cup, but obviously he's sort of just that level below. Like he's running, you probably need to run maybe a length better than what he's doing, but he can pinch it. But he's probably going to get an awkward map, and it's, I don't know. Like he's not the one I'd go looking. What price is he? $20s. I guess if you really wanted to, you could you could probably have him on side, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Bodegon's here. My God. Chris Waller. Can't train.
Yeah. Ever since that horse ran third in a Cox play, it's gone backwards. Yeah. All right.
He
anything around the grounds?
Group one winning 2-year-old from the UK and on a turned up on a plane for him, runs third in a Cox play and what, hasn't done anything since.
No. Anymore. Anything else around the grounds?
No, I haven't had a chance to yet, but I can do something. Like I can do like a post it or something.
Yep.
I've been told Geelong's pretty good, but I haven't looked at it yet.
All right, let's get to the good thing of the weekend, the put in, the take out Sunday.
What is it? I'm interested.
We go to Sha Tin. Race 7 is the Chaded and Charter Cup, which is Hong Kong's only 2,400 meter Group 1. And I think they've only got 3 2,400 meter races across the whole program. So 2,400 meters is just not Hong Kong's like sweet spot, not their hitting zone. Every year when the international races roll around, their horses usually are just simply outclassed by the Japanese and the European stayers. And one of the better stayers, one of Godolphin's best horses right now, this is terrific placement by Charlie Appleby. Race 7. Rebel's Romance comes to this race. And, gee, I think he's just got absolute panels on him. And if we get something like $1.90 on the day, we might not get that. I think he's sort of floating around $1.75, $1.80 at the moment. But he just got a lap full on these, I think. I think all he has to do is acclimatise well, and that's the only risk you take. And he really, really should be winning. He's a last start winner of the Shima Classic.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he the Shima winner?
He put a space on Charriar, who's really well performed internationally himself.
Mm.
William Buick comes across to ride, and he draws barrier 8 of 8, so maybe that means we get a slightly better price, but I just don't think it matters. Horses like Straight Aaron, Russian Emperor can be a good horse on his day. He's sort of out of form.
Senior Toba,
he'll run an honest fourth.
His little brother disappointed last weekend. But it was a better look. The spooky 2-year old, but it was a better run than what it looked. Splits were pretty good. Runs looking for a mile.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think I need to really say too much about this race. Like Rebel's Romance should be too good. It shouldn't matter if they go fast or slow. I just think he just got a clear ratings advantage on these, and it's a set weight for age race. So they've all got 57, and he should really be winning this. It's been a long time since Godolphin has won a race in Hong Kong, 14 years to be exact, but they don't really target many races over there. First Godolphin Group 1 winner in Hong Kong, not winner. They don't really target too many races over there. They've probably had a few on international day, but it's not a jurisdiction they get too involved in. But I think Charlie has hit the nail on the head here. Very happy to back.
Mm.
The only other international race was as Forabot. Did you notice she's running?
Yeah, I did. She's, I don't know about Saturday, but she's one of those ones. She's sort of in between. If it's a really weak year over there in the UK, she can win the King's Stand, but she needs to run to her best to probably, because she's just she's not quite like when we bring our best over. Yeah, she's not. She hasn't been as her best for about 8 months or so.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, she's in race 2 at Haydock. It's a 5-furlong event, as they would put it. Europeans, they go off miles, furlongs, and yards. I was looking at a track map the other day, and it said like 1 mile.
What even is a yard?
It's a little bit less than a meter, I think. The distance of this race was 1 mile, 2 furlongs, and 95 yards.
What a shit.
Like, they couldn't just say 2,100 meters.
Imagine the data nerds trying to like do average times for that. Like,
oh, get in the sea. That's in the lay bin. God. European measurements. I hope you're listening, Liv. It's a fucking disgrace. Hey Doc, race two. She's number one. She's $4.80 second elect.
When's that? Is that Saturday?
No. Yeah, I think that's Saturday night. Apparently going to be a very heavy track. So she's a multiple winner on soft seven, but
okay.
We know these tracks can get very, very heavy. So just sort of wait and see. I don't think she's a... I don't know. I don't want to say she's not a betting proposition, because if you want to have a bet, then go nuts, put the Aussie flag up and sit and cheer. But yeah, I probably won't be getting involved.
Mm.
All right. Do you have a back lay pay for us? What, Will?
Well, it's like you can't lay anything. Well, I guess you could, but like if I'm telling people, I don't want to tell people to lay like a $5.50 shot. But I thought, Elphinstone is $5.50, and I thought it was a $15 chance. So, I just don't understand why it's $5.50. I think it's like there's a very clear, like it's exposed at a level that's just clearly not good enough. So, my best bet I'll make Floozy, and my best value, I'll make it, I don't know, maybe, Nadachi or Duke of Hastings.
Sweet.
Is it Duke of Hastings? Is that what it's called?
Yep, race five, $26, if you don't mind. My best bet, just in summary, race five, Doomben, Miza. $2.50. I'm also very keen Sunday. Sha Tin, number one, race seven, Rebels Romance. My value plays in the Doomben Cup. Numerian is $9. Beyond Declare is $12. Obviously, sign up and try and get the early prices with us. But if you're not, then I still think it's value at the current quote. Beyond Declare is probably getting into his right price, but Numerian's definitely overs at $9. So I'd still take both of those prices now. And my lay... let's go the full hamburger of the lot. Let's make it Kovalika. Can win, but $3.50 just looks rock bottom. Especially, he's a horse who gets back. He'll be buried on the rails somewhere. And they have been getting off the fence at Doomben. So he's going to need a good ride, and so will Hueto, drawn 11, going to go back a long way. So happy to make Kovalika the lay of the day.
Mm.
All right, cool. A few questions. I'll go to Twitter first, where... RP fan, mysterious, has asked three. First of those is, what does Mostly Cloudy have to do to make the Melbourne Cup field? He probably has to win.
Win the Archer.
He probably has to win a win in your in race.
He has to win the Archer, which has moved to Maccabi David Day.
Yeah.
From
anyway, he should have beaten the map in the Ramsden. Bit sick. Mm. Bot, do you rate Leperane? What horse is that?
Oh, that he said he was backing it, and I ended up backing the favorite, and the favorite went no good.
Yeah.
So he beat me.
Bot, what's your favorite flavor of potato chips? I've got a good one, actually.
I think I like just regular ones, but
that is such a bot answer.
Yeah, just normal potato chips. But you know when you get like salt and vinegar chips, but like sometimes there's too much salt and vinegar. Like when it's just like that right amount of salt and vinegar, they're really good. But like they're hit and miss, because sometimes it's too much, but sometimes it's like perfect and it's like not too much.
Yeah.
Honey soy chicken's good too.
The other day, went in the shops and I just saw him staring at me. The light green packet of light and tangy thins is elite areas. They're really, really good. And the other one,
sick though.
They're really good. The best flavor of shapes, I'll argue this with anyone,
Vegemite,
is the blue nacho cheese ones. They're like,
I've never had
proper A grade, like so
better
much
better than barbecue.
Barbecue's like good, classic, but like go and get a box of the nacho cheese ones. They're elite. Elite.
I'll have to try it.
All right, let's go across.
No, I can't take anything from a bloke that puts barbecue sauce on fucking anything. I'm not taking
barbecue
food.
Sauce does go on anything.
No, it doesn't.
I had a steak sandwich tonight with barbecue sauce.
You put barbecue sauce on What's the most obscure thing you put barbecue sauce on?
Pasta.
That's not that bad, but I'm sure you've done worse than that.
Yeah, I probably have. Anything savoury, it works with.
You put it on ice cream?
Nah, no, no.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Nah, it goes on the eggs every morning.
Yuck.
Nah, it's good. Barbecue sauce is just, it's like that swing man. It's like Jared Waite, put him centre half back, put him centre half forward. Just adaptable, you know. Tyson Hunter, what happened in the basketball this week? Lots has happened. The Mavs beat the Timberwolves today. Boston is favorite and they're still going really strong. I'm not a big basketball fan, but I get around it in the playoffs. How shit is Leo's lunch rating method?
No,
I like it. Good on him. He's having a crack. I just wish he did a bit more video. I can't be bothered just reading it all.
Yeah.
Ryan Deeth, bot, why do you hate question time?
Because I get questions like that.
It's usually because he's getting a bit antsy because he needs his beauty sleep, I reckon.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Streets of Avalon memory?
When Eugenius's little brother wins on Saturday.
What's mine? My favorite is when he won the Australia Stakes at the Valley. Mm. That was good. My least favorite is when I backed Super Seth.
In the CF4.
Was that the Memzi or the CF4? It just looked like he was going to win. He was smashed off the map, replaced Melody Ballard's favorite from memory.
Because it was super on pace that day. I remember
Streets of Avalon found the fence and it was just an absolute highway and he just kept kicking. So that was very annoying.
Mm.
Ryan Deeth, Ben, who's your tip to win the NBA championship? I think despite the hiccup today, I think the Timberwolves can still get it done. They only just lost against the Mavs today and Anthony Edwards wasn't very good. So if he fires up,
is he injured?
Apparently he's carrying a little bit of an injury, but harden up, princess, I say. If he puts up 30 instead of 19, they win today. Ben, why do the Blues suck so much this season? Yeah, we're not going the best, but I've had a look at the fixture and we've got a really tough middle period and we've got a lot easier run home. So stay tuned. Ben, watch over and under. What was that?
We've got a lot of questions tonight.
We capped Deethy on like 3, so now he asks 5 on Instagram and 3 more on Twitter. We've only got 2 more. Ben, watch over and under for how many weeks until Stu returns to the group chat? I'm going to put a 2.5. 2.5 is the line.
Oh, shit.
Maybe it's 1.5.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, he'll return in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Who wins the big race in Japan, Stu says? That's the Japanese derby. Have you looked at that race at all?
No, I don't know.
I'll
watch it and then I'll be excited about it, but I don't know any of the horses.
Yeah. The Oaks was good last week.
Harbinger had a
just beat winner. Stellenbosch was the favourite, ran second.
Mm.
So I think the Quinella there can be followed.
Mm.
And Stu, to wrap up the podcast, he's given us a song request. Remember when we used to do this back at the very start? That was a bit weird, but anyway. Stu says, can you finish the podcast with Uncle Cracker, Follow Me, for the outro? How does that one go?
I don't know.
Follow me, everything is all. I think it's that one.
All right, that's it.
Anyway, let's wrap up the podcast there. Will needs his sleep,
yeah.
And I need a slap across the face. All right, cheers, punters. See you back here next Thursday, where we will be previewing some good races, Kingsford Smith Cup, and the Queensland Derby. And apparently Nico, who will be back on the podcast, he's got a bit of a gig with Little Birdie next Saturday, but we'll let him talk to you about that next Thursday night. Cheers, guys. Happy punting. Good luck. And
swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me. I'm not worried about the ring you wear, 'cause as long as no one knows, then nobody can care. You're feeling guilty, and I'm well aware, but you don't look ashamed, and baby, I'm not scared. I'm singing, follow me.